Blog Talk Radio.
Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening. Who are tuned in, we give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe, O. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC and New Power Radio Network. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013 and welcome you to help us celebrate our third anniversary on the air as New Power Radio Network and Sign of the Times. We love you. We appreciate you. And we also ask that you please support our sponsors, Manhood Raising Culture, headed up by my co-host on Tuesday night, Dr. James Jones, and a Unity Design headed up by my beloved brother and friend, Arlie Gordon, and Unity is spelled UNITEE. Please reach out to both of these brothers on Facebook as well as the World Wide Web manhoodraceculture.com, and unitydesign.com. And Unity, again, is spelled UNITEE. So tonight, as always, on Friday nights and Thursdays, too, we discuss the freedom movement and things that are happening around us and around the nation that affect us and our confined citizens. So tonight, we have the honor and pleasure of having back Brother Ben Turk, insurgency leader and the National Freedom Movement. Peace, Brother Ben. Welcome.
Peace, Queen Tahir. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. I know you're a busy, busy man. You've been out of the country since the last time we've talked to you. So catch us up on where things are and how things are going for you.
Yeah, well, right now I'm walking down North Avenue in Wauwatosa following a crowd of 100 angry people who are protesting for Jay Anderson. He was killed two nights ago. He was sleeping in a car, and the police shot him. They won't release the video of why or anything like that. So at the same time that these tragedies are going on in Minneapolis and Baton Rouge, they're also happening here just outside of Milwaukee. Other than that, I'm also doing support for a hunger strike that's been going on in the prisons up north. We've got new developments on that as well that I'd like to talk about.
Okay, that sounds good. And Brother Ben, I just want to digress for a second in what you spoke about, how it seems that, particularly men of color are being targeted almost to the point of, it looks antagonistic. It looks as though there is a bigger agenda here that is taking these men away from their families, and fathers away from their children. And it's more than a shame. And people can't just go along to get along and twist their lips and shake their heads. It's knocking on just about everyone's door at this point. We have Sam DuBose last summer, Maddie, and it's just an epidemic, and unfortunately our men are becoming an endangered species. So hats off to you comrades that are there with boots on the ground doing the damn thing in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's just so frequently that we're hearing these stories, and that you use the word epidemic, but a disease is something that, like, is a virus that needs, that follows some kind of natural pattern. And what I'm seeing here is a war, and this is a war of white supremacist police targeting black folks and black men in particular. And it's more organized. It's not natural. It's not organic. It's,
Yeah, and thank you, for all the work that you and the other comrades there are doing to speak up, because you could, maintain it in your comfort zone and be like a lot of other people and be silent. But to me, silence is respect, and we just can't afford for anybody to do that anymore. We also have, Brother Michael Xavier Johnson, who was alleged to be one of the people on the assault last night, and his family, needs to be supported as well, because, I'm sure there's going to be some retaliatory backlash if it already hasn't been. So, how we interweave this thing and look at it as a human rights issue, look at it as demanding our unalienable rights, and look at it as, it's time to speak and desist with this bullshit. I think that's where a lot of people are. It's way beyond, a black thing, if you will, and Black Lives Matter. We are under assault and under attack, and as we always have been, but now it's in everybody's face in mainstream media as well.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go to war against just the black folks in this country without affecting everybody. And we all live in the police state that was born out of white supremacy, but it affects us know, white folks like me and everybody else as well.
Now, the protest that you're at tonight, is that an organ protest or that citizens demanding the voices be heard? What's going on there?
It's yeah. So it's the family called it, and at first it was like a dozen people, but more and more people keep showing up. I would say there's at least 200 people here. We started at the Wauwatosa Police Station, and then marched up to North Avenue, which is like the main road. Across Wauwatosa, and we walked over to where Mayfair Road intersects with that. Now, if anybody in Milwaukee is live, is listening to this live, you should come here and join us. We shut down the intersection of Mayfair Road and North Avenue, which is right near Mayfair Mall.
Ashe, I'll definitely help to make sure that I hit my comrades that are there in Milwaukee up. Now, that's not the only thing that's going on there, is it? Now, isn't that where the hunger strike is also taking place?
Yeah, so the hunger strike is going on up north at the Waupun Correctional Institution. There are, I think we're down to 5 guys who are still on at this point. They've been refusing food since June 7th. And just this morning, we got some kind of terrifying news about one of the guys with the most vocal and public, who's done a lot of the writing for the hunger strike. His mom got a call this morning. Somebody else, another prisoner, saw them, the guards dragging his unconscious body across the floor. And we don't know what happened. We don't know if he fainted from health complications from not eating, or if he was assaulted or anything like that. We just know that he was unconscious and that the DOC and the warden is not answering any questions about it. We've been calling them all day and not getting anywhere.
Man, I also put out a confined citizen alert on his behalf. I hope it's okay to ask people to continue to call. Do you mind if I read that information to the listeners?
No, that would be great. Yes, please.
Okay, let me open it up here real quick. The brother's name is Cesar De Leon, and he is at I want to talk to you about something as far as the correctional facility. So, Waupun Waupun Correctional Facility. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, that's probably the indigenous pronunciation, but the white people around here call it Waupun. So that's what people are familiar with it being called.
Waupun Correctional Facility. So call the warden at Waupun Correctional Facility and demand that he allow hunger striker Cesar De Leon's family with him to verify his health. An anonymous caller just reported Leon's body being dragged across the floor to his cell like a rag doll. The number to call is 920-324-5571 and ask to speak to the warden. If the warden is unavailable, leave a message and feel free to call as often and as many times as you possibly can, as well as share this confined citizen alert that we put out. And it's on the Free Alabama Movement page, it's on the Free Ohio page, it's on the National Freedom Movement page on Facebook. And if anyone wants to make sure that they have been able to post it, yep, as you saw here on Facebook, or as in an email at signothetimes19@gmail.com. And I definitely will make sure that you get it. But please help spread the word. Please support this family. Because that definitely doesn't sound very good at all, Brother Ben.
Yeah, it's been the concern is this also came just a day or two after we heard that a judge has ordered release of a video. So on June 17th, after only 10 days, the DOC started force feeding the prisoners. They got court orders to go in and shove tubes down their noses and force them to take in sustenance and like like a liquid nutritional supplement stuff. And on the 20th, Cesar says that he was assaulted by a guard named Joseph Beam. That's B-E-A-H-M. And Joseph Beam has multiple reports of harassment and abuse that have been revealed against him at Waupun. And so he assaulted Cesar, and Cesar was asking us to do a public records request to get access to the video of that assault. And instead, a judge has actually requested that it be released in discovery for reevaluating the court order to force feed them, which means that it will be part of the public record. So we're worried that now that we hear that something has happened to Cesar, that it was some form of retaliation against that being exposed. And so we're worried that might be what's going on. So it's really important to put pressure on the DOC and to start finally getting some answers from them and some concessions.
Now, I'm not familiar if the laws are different as far as what they're required to tell the family. Is there a certain amount of time that they have to respond to these requests, or can they, you know, pretend as though they didn't receive them? You know, what's the, I guess, the protocol on making sure that these requests and these requests for information are going to be heard?
I honestly don't know that myself, especially here in Wisconsin. Like in Ohio, I don't know what the law is either, but I'm used to the wardens giving out information, especially if we've got a lot of people calling in to ask for it. But here in Wisconsin, it seems like the police and the wardens and the staff at these institutions don't have any accountability and don't need to be transparent to the public at all. We've been working on this for over a month now, and we haven't gotten any real honest talk from any of the authorities.
When we had a conversation, you know, and declared a state of emergency, so on Sign of the Times with Sister Mary Neal, Walt DeWicke on the air with us, and one of the things we talked about is that these facilities are no longer rehabilitation facilities. They're strictly correctional facilities. They're strictly about punishment, and to me, very inhumane punishment. You know, especially is our, I guess, request to the community as far as commitment? Maybe a step forward for fear of retaliation. And also, we do to make sure that when our confined citizens do speak truth to power, that we're doing as much as we can to be proactive so that we don't have to be reactive when something like this occurs.
Yeah, I think those are some real challenges. To go off subject for just a second, the protests that I'm sort of following just went into Mayfair Mall, into the Barnes & Noble here, and the cops are mobilizing, and so I'm not sure what's about to go down. And I'm trying. Can you hear me all right if I stay where I'm at right now, or should I try to get somewhere a little bit more quiet?
No, I can hear you fine, and you stay there where the action is, because, you know, if something does go down, I need to be available to help if I can.
Okay. Yeah, I'm following along, and we'll see what happens here. As far as answering your question goes, I think that is a huge and really difficult concern that I've been struggling with. You know, we're mobilizing as much as we can. We mobilized multiple rallies and call-in campaigns, and we're doing all this stuff to hold, to kind of confront the DOC over this hunger strike, and the DOC is not budging at all. And we're finding that there's very little that we can leverage because it's hard to shame the DOC when the mainstream society kind of doesn't get on board with any of that. You know, everyone's first reaction to hearing that there are prisoners on hunger strike is,
what did they do? Why are they, you know, why are they in prison in the first place? And there's just so much judgment. So it got kind of echoey. Can you hear me still?
Yep, I can hear you fine.
Okay, cool, yeah. So I think finding ways to push and to hold leverage and to hold power against the DOC is a really difficult thing, and I think it's going to take more direct action on our part, more people who are willing to risk arrest, to mobilize, to make noise, but also just like a large amount of cultural shift and educational opportunities and advancements. You know, we've been out holding up banners over the interstate, and right now that doesn't seem to be producing the leverage that we need to get the DOC to meet these guys halfway at all. But in the long run, it is raising awareness about the issues of prison and solitary confinement for more people. You know, hundreds of people who don't normally think about this stuff at all are seeing our banners and our press releases and the media coverage that we're getting around this. And it's got to be troubling, the dialogue and the narrative for them, at least a little bit. And we're hoping to continue that and continue that pressure and eventually have the cultural shift that we need to be able to defend these people.
One of the things that we know, powers that be, if you will, who are, you know, red capitalists that they are, you know, the main and this free labor upon citizens, something that we've kicked around as a possibility is by Christmas to have a financial impact on the capitalist society. It was very effective last year when people boycotted, and the year before, as a matter of fact, when we boycotted Black Friday, it had an impact. So I'm just wondering, why something like boycotting Christmas, boycotting Black Friday, what kind of message, you know, that would send? Do you have to comment on that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, what's going on right now here in Mayfair Mall, I think is an example of that, you know, going and disrupting the normal order of business. We've got 200 people chanting the name of Jay Anderson in this mall, and everybody, all commerce has stopped, everything that is normally, you know, the normal capitalism and white supremacy of our society that normally exists in this space, this kind of suburban mall out here in Mayfair, has been totally disrupted by the presence of these protesters. And the family of Jay Anderson were saying that they plan on coming out every day. They're going to be at the police department. They're going to be, you know, asking these questions, making these demands. And so, yeah, I think the more that we can be confronting this stuff on the economic level, the more that we can be disrupting business as usual, the more we can make it something that can't be ignored. That's where the power is, you know, and that's what's necessary.
Definitely, definitely. I know you don't have a lot of time to be on the air with us tonight, so pardon me for kind of trying to run all this stuff past you. But I do have a lot of respect for your opinion and the hard work that you've done in the past. And absolutely. Another thing is that the politicians and people understand to vote.
Yeah, so that's everything that we encounter is a challenge. So I feel like every time you say something, I come back with that's one of the challenges we gotta face. For example, on Tuesday we were outside of the DOC holding up these banners, talking about this issue, talking about the hunger strike and the force feeding, and the response. The one politician, so we called politicians, we asked them to come out and support, we asked them to, you know, be helping pressure the DOC, and on Tuesday, one politician stopped by for like 10 minutes, like pulled over on the side of the road, got a photo op next to our banner, and then left and didn't participate in any other way. So, yeah, you're right. We do need better politicians, and we do need people who are going to stand up for this and who are going to defend their communities. I don't know if voting is adequate to get us there, you know, because getting the right candidates in the first place is a challenge in and of itself.
I've been my thoughts are, because I have been involved, I've been precinct chair for Democratic Party previously and got so disgusted with its action and lack of support. Especially when it came to the case here with Judge Tracy Hunter, who successfully ran and was elected as judge of the juvenile court, over the juvenile court. And they gave this woman hell to the point where they invented 9 felony charges against her just to keep her from taking the bench. Come to find out, there's something like a $30 million budget that she would have had control over, that the politicians and the elite do not want to relinquish control over, which is basically the Republican Party here in Cincinnati. So as far as our political representation and having an impact and, I guess, establishing some sort of people's candidacy, in your opinion, do you think that that is a possibility? Because I don't really have a lot of faith in the Democratic or Republican Party, and I'm just now getting familiar with the Green Party, but they seem the most, I guess, groovy, if you will, at this point, to deserve and earn my vote. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely third party is the way to go. The Democrats clearly this year have shown that no matter how much they mobilize the more radical further left wing of the party, it's not enough to get somebody legit into the nomination. If you're going to go into electoral politics, third party is the way to go. But again, the trouble with that is the march has come down to the level that I'm at. So I imagine it might be even harder than before to hear me. But, let me try to move back a little bit.
You're fine. We can hear you.
Can you hear me still?
Yeah, we can hear you very well.
Okay, great. Sorry. The American political system is built to be a two-party system. The way that we run elections on a technical level is always gonna lead to a two-party system, is always gonna dead-end things. Personally, I'm not into democracy. I'm an anarchist, and I think that we need to defend ourselves and we need to fight for liberation ourselves without going to elected representatives, without hoping for policy change from the government, but rather going to a community level, talking to your neighbors, connecting with other people who share your interests and concerns, and defending yourselves against, you know, whatever it is, whether it's the Workers' Traditionalist Party or the police or whatever other manifestation of white supremacy it is that's coming down on you. You got to be prepared to defend yourself against it, because you can't count on the government or elected representatives to do any of that for you, really. They've just got their own interests at heart.
Ashe, absolutely. Yeah, we've exhausted our current politicians. There's no... definitely have our work cut out for us, and, sound a lot like, I know you said anarchist, but, you know, socialism has been a very dirty, dirty word here in the United States, and it has not been very received. With the exception of Brother Bernie's camp here recently, socialism mm-hmm. is kind of a dirty word. So talk a little bit about what being an anarchist really means, and is it similar to socialism? Are they one and the same?
I think that both these terms are very broad, and there's many different kinds of socialism and many different kinds of anarchism. And so there's definitely ways they overlap with each other. You know, the forms of anarchism that are more concerned with equality and egalitarianism are anarcho-communist or are socialist forms. And then the forms of socialism that are more libertarian oriented, that are more about freedom and less about state control and state power, have a lot of overlap with anarchism. So I'm interested in anything that's going on in that, like, intersection, you know, whether you call yourself a libertarian socialist or an anarcho-communist, you're my ally, you know?
That's what's that.
Now, as we talk about and get closer to 9/9 and, you know, I guess the recognition and paying homage to the uprising that took place, some people might not get the connection between, say, for example, the protests you're at right now and the freedom struggle of our confined brothers and sisters. Can you talk about a little bit, you know, paint a picture, if you will, on how all of that definitely is interlocked with one another, and like you said in the beginning of the broadcast, despite, you know, the color differences, we're all affected in some sort of way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a really important thing to build that systemic understanding. For example, at this protest that I'm at right now, which looks like we just got like cordoned off at the end of the mall, and the stores all have their gates up. But now the police are retreating, and I'm on the other side of the police line, and there's like a dozen cops walking past me right now. Kind of weird. But yeah, the protest moved out through a side door, so I'm going to follow and see what's going on. But anyway, yeah, a lot of the people here, I think, are here because Jay Anderson was just sleeping in his car and the police confronted him. And we don't know what happened after that confrontation, but that is, you know, Jay Anderson's innocence is not the only issue and the only thing of concern. I'm like literally surrounded by cops while saying this right now. It's really surreal. Anyway, there's a lot of people who are only concerned with Jay Anderson's innocence. And the thing to me is that the police are a terrorist organization and they are at war with the community entirely. So the fact that they are saturation targeting and that they're disproportionately going after people of color is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if there is somebody who is guilty, even if there is somebody who, you know, whether they're committing a survival crime or a victimless crime, you know, the fact of the matter is that white people don't go to prison anywhere near as often or for anywhere near as long as black folks do. And rich white people especially don't suffer consequences for their crimes at all. And so the crime and the breaking of the law is just a pretext that the police use to incarcerate and imprison people. So getting Black Lives Matter to understand that the freedom movement, that the incarcerated people, that there is power on the inside, that people, I'm good. How are you? The situation, as the Free Alabama movement has shown us, that through direct action on the prisons, on the inside, you have leverage that a lot of times we on the outside have a harder time getting together, because the American capitalist system has largely considered huge swaths of the population, the poor folks, a lot of black folks, a lot of people as surplus population, as kind of unnecessary to the economy. And they've done that by putting people in prison and putting people in positions where they can exploit them for just pennies at a time. And so then the rest of the population here is doesn't have economic leverage. You know, they're disenfranchised and considered surplus to society. And so prisoners, because they are necessary to run the prisons, because their slave labor is exploited and the prison system depends on that slave labor to run itself, those prisoners actually have a different kind of leverage that us on the outside, you know, we don't have. So actually together, exercising power on the inside and the outside, making overlaps between these different efforts, and recognizing that every police action, whether they shot an innocent man who was just reaching for his wallet, or an innocent man who was sleeping in his car, or when they're just saturation targeting neighborhoods and getting people who actually do commit crimes, it's still part of an operation of white supremacist terrorism and warfare against the community.
So, Ben, you know, we talked about 9/9 coming. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and how people can get involved and support it?
Yeah, September 9th is the 45th anniversary of the Attica Uprising. Back in 1971, prisoners took over New York State's most notorious prison, which is called Attica, and they held it, they occupied it, and then the prison system called in the National Guard, who then murdered people and tried to frame it all on the prisoners, but they, you know, clearly everybody who died was killed by police because they were all shot and the prisoners didn't have guns. So that's the historical precedent, but we are working on celebrating or commemorating that event by shutting down the prison system all across the country. There have been increasingly frequent hunger strikes and work stoppages all across the country in recent years. And last year, probably about 18 months ago, some prisoners, a friend of ours, Hassan, and the Free Alabama Movement prisoners and prisoners in other places had all been talking about wanting to make this a national movement, wanting to coordinate it from state to state so that each group of prisoners is not fighting by themselves, but is rather working together, going on strike at the same time so the media can't ignore it. And so we're getting that together now. We got people have all put out a call on supportprisonresistance.net. It's the call to action for the September 9th nationally coordinated work stoppage and protest. You can read it there. And you can participate by following up. There's a number of different suggestions. You can endorse the action as an individual and or any organization that you're involved in. You can reach out to us. You can contact us through that website. I have contacts all across the country that I can get you in touch with wherever it is that you are and wherever it is you're trying to get things organized. There are people in every region, if not every state, who are working on this and are looking to network and build more relationships. The IWW is really well organized in doing that through the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee. So another place that you can reach out and get some more information is IWOC.noblogs.org.
Can you give out that first website again? Because it broke up. We got the IWOC.org, and what was the other one?
The other one was supportprisonerresistance.net. All one word, supportprisonerresistance.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, you know, we're up and running here in the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I know Virginia's support, and Jersey and California and Texas and Wisconsin and Alabama and Mississippi. I don't know if I said Georgia or not, but I meant to. Can you talk about some of the other states who have shown an interest in participating in 9-9 and beyond?
Yes, definitely. I mean, the IWOC has presence in Oregon, California, Arizona, Texas, and there are, I believe, going on 800 prisoners across the country who have joined the Industrial Workers of the World Union through IWOC, and those are spread all across the country.
Definitely, definitely.
There's a bit of an exchange going on here, but okay, I think it's calmed down.
Okay. All right, all right. Well, Ben, let the listeners know how they can reach out to you, you know, for further information. And, you know, I just want to pledge our support for the freedom and justice movement on a national and local level. We're doing what we can to bring people together. We're also showing Documentary Dirty Secret here in Cincinnati. So who are listening, please go to a campaign to end the new Jim Crow Cincinnati chapter, the freeohiomovement.org, so Free Ohio Movement on Facebook. We also have a national page that we started, the National Freedom Movement United on Facebook as well. So by us all doing a little bit, once this thing gets to closer and closer to 9-9, these things are going to come together as a collective group, a collective body. And we are, you know, working hand in hand to try to spread the message, educate our people, and uplift our confined citizens as much as we can. So, Ben, please, you know, in closing, let the listeners know anything that we may have missed and how to get in contact with.
Yeah, you can get in contact with me through the supportprisonerresistance.net website. The email address is prisonerresistance@gmail.com. Yeah, reach out to me through that, and wherever you are in the country, I will plug you in with folks that are nearby that are also interested in working on this. The freedom movement, all those things that you just talked about are really great connections for folks in Ohio. I imagine that's where a lot of your listenership is. We're also planning a convergence leading up to 9-9. On the weekend of August 28th, there will be a large convergence in Columbus called Bending the Bars. And if anybody in Ohio can make it to that on that day, that weekend, there'll be direct action and a lot of mobilization from people all over the Midwest. We'll be gathering there for that. And we want to try to kick off 9-9 by doing it right on that weekend to get like kind of prime the pump and get things started.
Sounds good. And we have a national listenership. We have co-hosts as far as Houston, Texas, and San Bernardino, California. So we're not
that's,
just in Ohio. It just happens to be where I am.
Okay. That's great.
Ashe. All right, Bryn, stay safe, and we'll continue to spread the message about Brother Caesar, and please keep us posted. If there's anything we can do, we're always available.
Thank you. Thank you for that and everything that you've been doing to raise awareness and build the network.
Ashe, likewise. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Have a good night.
You too. Peace. All right, everybody, we're going to go ahead and wrap up for this Friday night here on Sign of the Times. We thank you for being a part of another successful week of broadcast here and being a part of the a New Power Radio Network family. We realize that we are only as strong as our weakest link, and none of us want to be weak any further, any longer than we already have or have the potential to continue to be. So next Tuesday, we're going to be live back with Dr. James Jones as my co-host here on Sign of the Times. We thank you for your continued support. Also, one last thing. If you have an opportunity to go to our generosity website for the National Freedom Movement and make a donation, we definitely would appreciate it. So please reach out to us on Facebook at Sign of the Times, New Power Radio Network, the Free Ohio Movement, the National Freedom Movement United, and myself as Queen Tahira. That in closing, I'm getting ready to spend some time with the grandbabies. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll see everybody next week. Talk to you soon. Peace.
They just love to learn and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair. Been somewhere else. You can't cry 'cause you look